This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, I think I'm going to get started. We probably still have quite a few people trickling in, but let's get started because it's 4:46. So the time is now. Before we start, can I get a roll call, please?
Yes, I'll now proceed with roll call. Just in any case that I mispronounce your names, please let me know or send me an email. Morgan Baker.
Here.
Genevieve Bonsall.
Here, thank you.
Duncan Cady.
Sorry, I wasn't unmuting. I'm here.
Pedro De Silveira. Dylan Eisman. Annette Gleiberman. Payne Gronemeyer. Deepak Lango.
Here.
John John Jiang.
Here.
Andrew Huan.
Here.
Joanne Kim.
Here.
Amari Lampert.
Here.
Claudia Leon.
Here. It's Leon, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Yaninoe Logan.
Yaninoe, and here.
Minaya Lewis.
Here.
Luna Liu. Benjamin Lacal.
Here.
Joseph Mullen.
Here.
Nicole Overton.
Here.
Nikki Reddy.
Here.
Kate Santa Cruz.
Here.
Lucas Smith.
Here.
Michelle Song.
Here.
Claire Templeman.
Here.
Valeria Valencia.
Here.
Adele Williams.
Here.
Everest Yan.
Here.
And Anelia Nanya.
Here. And it's Anelia Nanya. Thank you so much. And tell me if I'm saying your name right. I know Wendy just put it in the chat, but I just wanted to thank Jana for joining us for the rest of the semester, since Sierra is going to be abroad for the semester.
Thank you.
Okay, amazing. So the time is, a Representative De Silveira.
I joined in the middle of roll call. Can I get my attendance fixed?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I also just realized there's a few of those in the chat. So Annie Gleiberman is present and Luna Liu is also present. Thank you. Okay, so the time is 4:49. We have, can you tell me how many members we have present?
Yes, so we have one second. 21 members.
Perfect. Now the time is 4:50. We have 21 members present, and I am officially calling this meeting to order. Okay, so first on our agenda, I'm going to start with our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagano Cayuga Nation, The Gaiwono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gaiwono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaiwono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Okay. So next we are going to go into any late additions to the agenda. Representative Hernandez.
Yeah, could I add a resolution? Last minute resolution.
Second.
Yes, what is your resolution number?
I actually don't know.
Okay, can you give us the title of the resolution?
Yeah, establishing the Public Health and Safety Committee.
Okay, and then we need to vote on that. Can I have all those in favor of adding that to the agenda? Please raise your hand. Sorry, I also have such a trouble counting when we do it like this. Okay. Can you repeat how many members we have present today? Jana, sorry.
Yes, there's 27 voting members.
Okay, amazing. Okay, so can I have everyone who raised their hands lower your hands? Okay, and then can I have all those opposed, please raise your hands? And then can I have all those abstaining, please raise your hands? Okay, we had two people not vote. I'm gonna count those abstentions unless anyone like is opposed to that. Okay, amazing. So in a vote of 23-0-4, that passes and it's added to the agenda for today. Do we have any other late additions? Representative Katie.
Yeah, I have a resolution. I talked about it a while ago. Kate and I just kind of put it together today. So it's the resolution on Zoom live transcript. So it's adding transcripts to Zoom. Obviously, it's kind of time sensitive. It did not go through committee, but my understanding from Lucas, I think it was 3 or 4 meetings ago, was that if it gets a 2/3 majority, it can be added to the agenda without going through committee. So I'd like to do that and then have it sent out and put in the box. We can all take a look at it and then vote. I motion to add it to the agenda.
Amazing. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards.
Or second. I don't know if it needs it.
Sorry. Can you repeat? Annie, were you saying something?
Oh, I don't know if it needed it, but I second it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, lower your hands. Okay, and then can I have all those opposed raise your hands? Okay, and then can I have all those abstaining raise your hands? Okay, as a reminder to all the voting members of the Student Assembly, you all need to vote all the time. So we just had 22 people vote. We have 27 voting members. And that's like a pretty big discrepancy. So I'm going to do this vote again. You all need to vote or you need to abstain. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your hands. Okay, can I have all those opposed raise your hands? Are any of those actually opposed?
Sorry, mine didn't go down, but I got down.
Okay, Representative Overton, is that an opposed?
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find the button.
Okay, don't worry. I can lower it for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then can I have all those abstaining? Please raise your hands. Okay, Jana, is there any chance that you can check how many members we have again? Because I think most people voted, and that would put us at 24.
Yeah, I'll check one more time.
Thank you. Wendy.
Hi, Jenna. I don't know if it helps. I just actually counted it as well, and I have 26.
Okay, so we have 26 is what we're going with.
Let's see if Jenna's got that as well, just to double check.
But yeah.
That's what I've got.
I got 26 as well.
Okay. So some of you are still not voting. I'm going to count those as abstentions, but please, guys, just to like make us not stay here for 3 hours, do vote. But that was in a vote of 22. Does anyone oppose to me using those as abstentions? Okay, in a vote of 22-0-4, that passes. Congratulations, Duncan. So those are both added to the agenda now. Okay, do we have any other late additions to the agenda? Yes, I did count myself at all. Okay, so now we'll move into the consent agenda. We have the student activity fee was recommendation number 37 was accepted by the president. So congratulations, everyone. I know that there was a long semester of doing the entire byline process, but it was accepted. Okay, and then I will pass it over to Vice President Bonza to do our open microphone.
Hi, everyone. Hope you had a good winter break. Happy first week of classes. So for open microphone, any non-SA member or community members, if you have any announcements or anything to ask or say, please feel free to unmute and say it now or raise your hand to. Okay, going once, going twice. Close. Okay, great. I'll close open microphone and pass it back to President Nguyen.
Okay, amazing. Now we're going to move into announcements and reports. First, we have the Office of Student Government Relations approving the new director, Maggie Peng. Or Peng. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. Our representatives from OSG are here.
If not, can I point of information? She reached out to me, and so I added it to the agenda. But basically, we as an SA are supposed to vote to approve it. And so if she's not here, we can vote, and I can reach back out to her for the results. But that's sort of like the communication channel I have with her.
Okay. So I'll just like leave it up to us as a student assembly. We can either do a vote now, or we can have Maggie come to speak to us just about OSGR. And then Representative Smith.
Yeah, I'd be in favor of tabling voting on that, because as well, besides just the director of OSGR, all the level directors are also supposed to be approved. So it'd be great to have all four folks and be able to meet them. That was the intention when we created the office. So I think it'd be better to table.
Okay. Was that a formal motion?
Yeah. Okay. Motion to table.
Amazing. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. Can I have all those in favor raise your hand of tabling? Raise your hand, please. Okay, you can lower it. That was unanimous. So in a vote of 25-0-1, that's tabled. And so we'll table that to next week. And then Genevieve, can you just reach out to her so that we have that for next week?
Perfect, yep, just did.
Thank you so much. Okay. Next, we have special project request for Chinese New Year. That is from Representative Zhang and Representative Valencia.
Hello, can you guys hear me? Oh, hello, hi, members of the SA. Thank you very much for giving me this time for doing the report. As you probably remember from last semester, I mentioned about the special funding request possibility. About the Chinese New Year funding or the Spring Festival Gala. So just to give you a brief introduction in case you didn't read the Slack message. So the Spring Festival Gala is one of the most important traditional and cultural festivals for students who share Asian cultural heritage. The Chinese New Year is a festival not only for the Chinese people, it's also celebrated among other Asian countries as well. And during the Spring Festival Gala, students put performance like crosstalks, dances, short plays, and contain Chinese elements. Students voluntarily sign up for the performing, including other student organizations in Cornell, such as MCSA and Amber Dance Troupe. More than 1,000 people are expected to attend this event, according to the Stellar Auditorium capacity and data from the past year. This event will last 2 or 3 hours on February 12th during the event. CSSA will give out gifts like red pockets and Chinese snacks to help students build connections with their culture and Asian community at Cornell. So this resolution was, so I already finished writing the resolution and submitted to Vice President Genevieve. And I'm not sure do I need to put that box right now or later on, because I think the special funding project exceeding $1,500 needs to get approved by the executive committee first in order to become a resolution. And in terms of the resolution of the voting of the whole SA, I hope the exec committee could at the latest finish the approval of the resolution before next Thursday's meeting, because next Thursday I already invited the president of the CSSA, the treasurer of CSSA, and the chief of director of the Spring Festival Gala to answer specific questions to the SA, because we already have a general idea about what the CSSA is going to be doing for the Spring Festival Gala, and is already pretty detailedly written in the resolution. The reason why I invited three of them and probably even more, a couple of VPs to come over to explain is because the specific line items of what they're going to buy and how much it specifically cost in order to promote more transparency and detail of the data. That's why I invited them to come to having their presentations and in order for all the SA members to ask necessary questions to those members. Just to address a couple of general questions that a couple of SA members already reflected to me, I'm just responding it now to make sure we don't have to ask them again. So in terms of why is special funding, why are we asking the student assembly special funding projects rather than just directly go to organizations such as SAFC or ISU? First of all, is that the CSSA was only currently registered as a member of SAFC this year. So they're only eligible for $1,000 a year for the entire year, even though they are actually a huge organization that spends well over that. This is the first year they registered with SAFC, and they already used that $1,000 last year during the mid-autumn festival event. In terms of the ISU, because ISU is the organization's, probably for those of you in the appropriation committee, probably already heard my presentation about ISU as well, is that ISU is an organization that essentially takes care of every nationality across Cornell that's like represented over 50 countries at Cornell community. Therefore, they're not going to prioritize certain organizations just based on their the size of the student body. And in terms of other finances, so in the past years, the CSSA would fund other finance sources from companies that are trying to do some advertisements or self-funded doing different fundraising. However, due to the coronavirus pandemic and other economic difficulty issues in Asia, this funding sources is becoming drying out. Therefore, in order to host a successful event, they will require additional funds that cannot be obtained by traditional sources. And also, traditionally, they are underfunded because, as I mentioned previously, they usually have over 1,000 attendees of the event, and actually, that's a conservative estimation because there are people come and go. And this year will be their full in-person year after 2 years of coronavirus pandemic to host the Spring Festival Gala. So it's even expected more attendees. Other than that, additionally, I would like to throw special thanks for Vice President Mullen and Representative Yang for their support. So for Vice President Mullen for thanking for his support to helping with this resolution and also propose it to the executive committee, and for Representative Yang for helping to connect, build bridges between the local Asian community and international community, between domestic and international community. And once again, the resolution is currently shared with Genevieve and also a couple members in the executive board. And if anything else there needs to be added, I will yield my time to Representative Luna Liu for more detail. Thank you. Yes, if any questions, you can ask me.
I just want to give, before we go to Representative Bonza, Representative Liu, did you want to say anything else in the presentation before we go to questions?
Yes, I can just reflect on Representative Jen. So I just want to let everyone know that Lunar New Year, the Chinese New Year, is the biggest festival in Chinese, even Asian cultures. So successfully hosting the Spring Festival Gala is really a good way to help the Asian students to be more connected to their culture and community in Cornell. So I'm really glad that I can work with Sean Zhang for helping Cornell CSSA to request the fund and support for the event. And I wish everyone could give them more attention and support. Thank you.
Amazing. Vice President Bonza, I saw you had your hand raised. Did you still have something?
Yes, just like a procedural thing. So I didn't receive anything via email, and procedure-wise, like if it's not the agenda, you would just put it in the box for everyone to see. And so I don't know how you shared it with me, but I just like went through my email again and I didn't see like any like doc shared with me, unless like any e-board member want to attest to this too, since John, or Representative Jiang, said he shared it with some e-board members.
I think that there might be, so I did share with you, maybe, I think I did the right email address. I just shared with you, I think a few hours ago, a Google Doc.
Oh, got it. Okay, so typically it would be like a Word document. And if it's like this, like you would just put it in the box for everyone to see, and I'll just like change the titles and things like that. But since you shared in the work Google Doc, you said, I'll just like check my shared drive and try to pull it in the box. But can I just ask Wendy if we can vote on this today, just based on like the procedure of not being shared? Wendy, can you clarify, since I understand?
I am looking at that right now, and I'll get right back to you.
Okay, but up to that, I'll put it in the box right now. Thanks, Representative Jay.
All right, thank you. Let me know if you have any questions, or you can, if there's somebody else talking, you can directly chat me on Zoom.
Great.
Thank you, Representative Jay. Sorry, someone's like singing in my hallway. I would smile upon a motion to table just since Representative Jiang said that he's will be bringing representatives to speak more on the resolution next week. If you all feel comfortable with that, I'd smile upon a. Oh, and also just for clarification, it did pass through exec, so we can discuss it on the floor next week. Representative Gleiberman.
I'd like to motion to accept this application. I don't know if that's the right wording. Because it's different than a resolution because it was like a special projects funding request.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay.
Reformation. I was just gonna say real quickly, because it's an amount over 1500, it does have to be presented as a resolution and passed. But since we already approved it in exec, we can like actually like vote on it as a resolution today. But it has to be like a resolution.
Okay, so do we want to wait a minute till everyone can see the resolution? Because I it does have to be a formal resolution. But we did get a second, so we will be voting. Representative Williams.
Yeah, I was just going to say point of information. I'd like to see the amount before we fully vote. So seeing the resolution.
So I retract my motion to vote.
Oh, you retract your motion to vote?
Yeah, just so we can upload it and see it. Just because okay. I technically had a motion on the floor.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that's fine. So that means that we are in discussion right now. So if we would like to like continue the discussion on this, we can. Representative Smith?
Yeah, so... Representative Jiang, I thought you mentioned as well that you're in the process of like pulling together like the itemized breakdown of the expenses. Is that true? Seems like that would be valuable as well. If it's not, I understand it's been passed by exec, but if it's, there's folks that are going to come talk to us next week and I don't know. I see benefit in just waiting till next week. Not that it's going to change anybody's minds, but at least doing due diligence. And if it's not going to change the ability of the event to move forward, I'd rather vote once we're seeing all the information. And then we don't have to have someone scrambling to pull together a resolution right now, which also seems kind of silly. Again, if it's not going to impact the ability of the funding to get there in time. So would be interested to hear from you on that.
Representative Jiang, you can respond if you'd like to.
Okay, thank you. I think personally, I think I will leave the decision to the student assembly. I think the amount is essentially fixed because it is already calculated based upon the expenditures and also projected cost. However, as I talked to Representative Smith earlier, actually with a phone call, that so in terms of the line item, because they need some time to finally ratify to make it more like a formal presentable. So they already know, pretty much know what they're gonna buy, but they haven't formalized in a way that's readable. I have also speaking this with particularly with the treasurer of CSSA, Jerry He, which is also in the process of putting line item. And also if Luna, Representative Lu, you wanna say a few words as well, because Luna is also in the process of helping Jerry He to have this line item to set up as well. And also in terms of other details, the president of CSSA and chief director will be also coming to explain further. So I will leave the decision to the student assembly, no matter whatever it seems fit, so.
Yeah, I would just say, I would like to second Representative Smith's point. I just feel like it seems like kind of useless to have a whole organization come with a presentation and for us to vote before we see that presentation. I don't think this is controversial. I feel like for the most part we understand like why this is important, but I think it is nice to have like all the facts before the resolution comes to the floor. Representative Katie.
Yeah, I'd like to turn that into a formal motion, recognizing what John just said about wanting it to be done by the will of the student assembly. So I'd like to motion that this be tabled into the next meeting so that the proper presentations can be in line, assuming that has the consent of the co-signers, which it, by all extent, it seems like it does.
I'd second that.
Can I have all those in favor of tabling? Please raise your hands. Okay, can I have everyone lower their hands? Representative Wan and Yan, is that a vote no?
Nope, my bad.
Representative Yan.
Oh. Sorry, that was a yes for tabling.
Okay, perfect. Can I have all of those opposed? Please raise your hands. Okay, can I have all those abstaining? Please raise your hands. Okay, and a vote of 24-0-3, that passes, so it's tabled. And did we have someone join the Zoom by any chance?
I think Representative Eisman joined.
Oh, yes. Okay, Representative Eisman did join. Okay, so we're at 27 members now. Amazing. Okay, so that is tabled. Sorry, let me pull the agenda up again. Okay, now we are moving into initiatives. Are there any initiatives on the floor? Okay, and then presentations and forums. Okay, business of the day. And then new business, and we have two resolutions. So the first resolution in new business is Representative Hernandez's resolution.
Hi, yeah, I believe it should be in the box right now. And so we're pretty much just trying to start this new committee under student assembly that's called the Student Public Health and Safety Committee. And we're hoping to have like students kind of come together and serve on PSAC, and hopefully OSA members can also serve on that committee, because I think it's like a really good skill for them to learn, especially as they help students on an individual basis. And this committee will just kind of allow them to also be part of PSAC, but also other students across the university. So, okay, yeah, I think I saw Lampert, Representative Lampert.
Yeah, I was just a little bit confused. Would you be able to explain the difference between this committee and SHAC, Student Health Advisory Group Committee?
So I think the Student Health Advisory Committee probably works with like the insurance, I believe. So this will be working with the Public Safety Advisory Committee, which focuses on like crisis management, kind of like safety on campus, and finding like different ways for the university to have or to deal with any
emergency situations. So right now,
sorry, Dylan, I'm interrupting.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay. So bad. I was just going to say that, at least from what I heard, because I don't serve on PSEC, but it seems like the work is very, it's a lot. So I guess creating this committee will help disperse some of that workload, but also help like other students learn about this initiative. So in some ways, they'll still be kind of working along this mission.
Dovetailing off that as well, Delilah. I had the same conversation, Amari, with Connor, who I don't believe is here today, who's also a co-sponsor. If you remember, he came, this goes as broader to not just your question, but if you remember, he came to a student assembly meeting significantly earlier in this year talking about the work he's done with PSAC as a student member of that. And one concern he raised at that time that then a lot of student assembly members got to like incur deeper with him was about what the function of his role on PSAC looks like and what the function of the student assembly and other student organizations have spent in that. Those conversations indicated specifically a lack of student voice, a lack of student representation, a lack of the many diverse voices and perspectives regarding public safety, public health that are involved in the conversations with PSAC exclusively, not involving SHAC, because disconnected, obviously, and that this committee would function to add more perspective onto PSAC and along with all the other functions laid out in this resolution, which you can read in the box. Essentially, the functions are very different from the conversation I had, and I'm going to try to not, you know, quote him here and just try and get generally a sense of what's in the resolution, but a focus is more on working on issues relating to PSAC, issues relating to that, and student representation in those conversations, whereas obviously SHAC has a much more broader focus.
Okay, perfect. That makes sense. Thank you.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, and I guess I have a couple questions, and recognizing that I only can ask one at a time, I ask that someone doesn't like try to jump in and move on, I guess, after I finish my first question. But yeah, from the way you describe it, do we need this public health aspect then? To me, that seems like that's distracting from the point, and we do have a student assembly committee that is focused on the health. So seeing this public health tagline, I guess you could say, or the committee in the committee name is almost distracting, at least to me, at least I'm losing that, I guess, mission of really it being solely focused on PSAC. So that maybe is there other options for the name of this committee we can consider?
Yeah, I appreciate that indication. And, you know, anyone else who helped work on this obviously can chime in if they have thoughts too. I think if you read through the tasks specifically of what the committee is supposed to do, so like the red section in particular, you'll see that a lot of the functions aren't exclusive just to like working with PSEC. Really, the concept is focused on public safety and public health as two intertwined factors, recognizing that there's not like really a monolith of what is public safety without having some sort of elements of public health towards that. A lot of these conversations, I personally didn't come up with this name, but a lot of the conversations had about the need for this committee was not, were the same conversations that are being had at PSAC, but also the same conversations being had broader in the Cornell community about issues regarding all sorts of elements of public safety and public health. And I think the focus is to worry less about institutions of student health and more about areas in which there's community engagement relating to health, areas where there's issues relating to public safety that then affect health. And the concept of this community is to let, the concept of this committee is to let conversations not be pigeonholed down to specific incidents of public health or specific viewpoints or takes on public health and public safety. So it's to offer kind of a broader room for those conversations to then be brought to things like PSAC, to then be brought to students who are doing some of the work that like people like Connor are doing. I believe Joseph also sits in that committee, so people doing those kind of work where those conversations have been happening as well. So it's almost to prevent there being a disconnect if, say, broader issues about public health come about in these conversations relating to PSAC and public safety. Does that answer your question, Lucas?
Yes, my first question.
Okay, I'm going to go to Representative Templeman, just so that we don't start a second speaker's list. And I would also just say, to Lucas's point, Sorry, Representative Smith's point. As someone who serves on PSAC, a lot of times everything is kind of interconnected, and we do a lot of like public health work, which I think is like a little bit different. So it's like working with EMCS, like stuff along those lines, which I feel like kind of intersect into that aspect. So I think that was kind of the goal with the resolution. Representative Templeman.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I mean, first of all, thank you for all the work you put into this resolution. I mean, it's clear you guys have like thought a lot about this. I was just wondering, because like, I know some committees, not necessarily saying that like the sort of committee could follow that pattern, but like some committees, like they're set up and they're not really sure what to do, and they don't really like know what to talk about during meetings. So can you think of like, what are some ideas of like potential projects or like topics that like specifically like would be discussed at, you know, a meeting?
Yeah, I don't want to be the only one answering this, because I'm only one of, you know, multiple co-sponsors here, multiple people involved in these conversations. So I implore other people to go for ideas with this. I think specifically there wasn't a single intention for this. And I appreciate your notion of wanting to nail down actual conversations going on in the committee, because I think that's important, obviously, that these meetings can happen and there's stuff to be done. But again, if you read through the red text, there's actually very specific goals and asks that the committee functions. Right. I think there is direct aims at ways that this committee could encourage broader dialogue on this campus to be channeled through the right structures. I don't think there's actually an issue of dialogue at all. I think it's the opposite. I think these conversations are already happening in a lot of communities currently on this campus. They're being happened in a lot of classrooms, being happened in a lot of student organizations. And the concept of this committee, of many things included in that list there, which I implore you all to take a deeper look at if you get a chance, is channeling those conversations up to administrative resources for that. And thus then fielding student concerns. That's kind of the OSA perspective of it related to that. But I don't know if Delilah, Joe, or anyone else has any comment on that.
Yeah, I guess to follow up on that, I definitely see this as like a space for students, like even students who aren't in SA or an OSA, but like for them to also have that dialogue and have like be more informed of what's going on and maybe what they can push like the people who do serve on PSAC to kind of say or like do, or just kind of, I don't know, increase that communication loop, because that's always important. So I definitely see that as a space for them to like discuss ideas and projects that maybe the university could take on.
Representative
Jang. Hi, hello. First of all, thank you very much for putting this work to put to establish resolutions, and thank you for your attention to the student health. I just have one quick question, like about more of a clarification. So the red text in the very end, it says at least 5 additional undergrad students representing both student assembly members and community members. So I wonder, is there a specific structural makeup about how many student assembly members there will be, how many community members there will be, or it will be just totally depend on the committees, or is there a specific ratio made up of how many student assembly members and how many community members? Thank you.
The decision with that, it's a good question. It's very valid. The decision with that was to leave it flexible, as so that should there be a need where, or an interest where more student assembly members wanted to get involved, they could. Should there be a need where more community members wanted to get involved, they could. Really, the functions committee is designed to be, and Delilah, correct me if I'm wrong here, and this is kind of an early discussion, was to be more closely related to OSA and the functions of OSA, as well as the student assembly. That's why they're specifically laid out positions for members of the Office of Student Advocate, just because as the tasks of these kind of go, it fits both needs of the student assembly to represent students and student interests, to elevate students and communities and, you know, all sorts of voices, to not be inclusive or not be pigeonholed to a couple people or a couple perspectives. And then to also kind of turn to the student advocate, where obviously it takes a larger role in issues of student crisis or issues of student concern or personal matters between students. And so that decision was made more of, the SA has influence, obviously, through the committee as an SA committee. Obviously, SA members are going to sit on it, but it functions in many day-to-day activities, possibly similar to some of the actions of OSA. And Delilah, I don't know if you have something to comment on that, but.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, so I guess I'm hoping this is at least a part of the solution. Like you said, we heard the presentations. The presentation last semester, there was clearly a need to address this. I'm a little bit more pessimistic, and I don't tend to be pessimistic, but I'm hopeful, I guess, that this is the solution. So we'll see. And so I'm on board on that. But I guess logistically, I'm looking at how this is set up. And you talked about it at the end, that relationship with the student assembly directly and the office of the student advocate. So moving past that initial paragraph outlining the committee and looking at some of the positions, I'm a little bit more confused. So we're setting this up, right? This is designed to be set up as a review committee, which I think is fine and makes sense to me as a review committee. But then the Office of the Student Advocate has a lot of say in how this review committee is operating. And the Office of the Student Advocate is set up as an external committee. So maybe I see that making sense, but a little bit I don't. I mean, it's not something we've seen done before, where we essentially have another committee calling the shots of a review committee, the exception being, right, the executive cabinet, which is neither of those. It's an operational committee, right? So we tend to see our operational committees call the shots, per se. So I'm a little bit confused by that, on if this is the right approach, with OSA having, it seems like, quite a bit of authority over another committee. Not saying that it's OSA isn't allowed to have an opinion on things, but just this is a new territory. And then what is it? Looks like alternative crisis response chair, so A, and then section 4 or bullet point 4 under that says the chair of the committee will be reviewed semesterly by the current SA president in consultation with the student advocate, and can be removed at their discretion. So that's kind of interesting to me, how we're throwing in there that the SA president and the student advocate are kind of can really solely replace this alternative crisis response chair, even though OSA as a whole is appointing them and the student assembly is approving. So I'm confused there. That to me,
talking about, I'm trying to find this point here. I'm sorry. Yeah. Where?
So A, yeah. Alternative crisis response chair. So right. Point one is it's appointed by the student, or they're appointed by the office of the student advocate and then approved by the student assembly. And then point four, if we move down, is that they're reviewed semesterly by the SA president and student advocate and can be removed at their discretion. So I'm curious why that is necessary. I mean, again, that's not the point of the committee, but while we're here reviewing this and getting something in place.
Would you prefer something along the line? I don't want to speak for the other co-signers. I mean, it's possible to amend that, I'm sure. I wasn't particularly keen to that part of the conversation, but I was going to answer your first question.
Sure.
About the relationship with OSA. So the conversation was very clear, I feel, in those meetings early with Connor about this, was that it made more sense, the function of this as a committee to the student assembly, but its necessity was to serve a lot of the interests relating to the office of the student advocate. So essentially, you know, if you're going to go through this beginning part here, this is really where we try and outline why there's this divide, right? It's recognizing there's a dual interest of the student assembly and the office of student advocate to do essentially what are these both things and ensure, you know, public safety, public health, and elevate the voices of students relevant to public safety, public health. So kind of that was a lot of the concept as to why OSA was involved in the way it is. And I defer to Delilah if she wanted to, or Anneli, I guess also former OSA or student advocate, if they wanted to comment on that relating to the role of OSA. As for this committee appointment, I believe the idea was just simply that in a similar function, that if there's violations currently with things relating to members of the SA, that it's kind of taken onto a perspective towards an executive, not really put always in front of the student assembly fully. I don't believe I was specifically involved in that that subpoint, but if there's amendments, you know, it's, you know, open to them, of course, which is actually reminding me also that Anneli was supposed to be added to this, and I think I have to do it as an amendment now, if that's all right, if I propose that amendment as a co-sponsor.
Yep. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay.
Motion by unanimous consent.
Yeah, do we want to do that unanimously? Can we have a second?
Second, sorry. Are we? Yeah,
that works. Do we have any dissent to that? Okay. That amendment passes. Okay, so we are still in open debate. Representative Smith, is your hand still raised?
Yeah. So still on board with, okay, it makes sense that we have this committee. And I'm getting this relationship with the Student Assembly and the Office of the Student Advocate, sort of, but they're not separate things, right? The Office of the Student Advocate is already accountable to the Student Assembly. So why can't this committee just be under the Office of the Student Advocate and be a charter change for them? Because I'm just not a big fan of this, like, external committee having so much sway over a review committee. And yeah, I don't know that. I'm, it's not like a deal breaker, but I think that I don't understand why we can't just have this be a committee of the Office of the Student Advocate. And then I think we avoid all sorts of red tape and creating new things that to me seem unnecessary when it seems like the Office of the Student Advocate is so essential to this working as it is. So my question is why does this need to be a review committee of the Student Assembly? Why does that make it more effective than being a committee of the Office of the Student Advocate?
I guess the way that I saw it, and it's like as we were creating it, was more so that there's like an explicit, I guess, relationship between OSA and like SA and then like other students as well. And I guess I did think about it being under OSA, but not everyone in OSA is going to serve on this committee. It's just a couple of them.
I think also part of it too is by being a review committee under the Student Assembly, it opens the door to more involvement from current SA committees as well as current SA members. You know, people, if there's something relating to the diversity committee that might be relevant to public safety, public health, there's something relating to SHAC that might be related to something relating to, you know, any of these conversations going on here, it allows for more collaboration and more direct reporting up to the Student Assembly rather than having it more external in the OSA. I think the concept was that if it was going to kind of going off what Delilah was saying, like if we want to get everyone involved, bring OSA to the Student Assembly, not bring Student Assembly to OSA, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not, I guess I don't think we'll ever have an issue in the future, but I don't know.
I don't assume OSA is going to go missing anytime soon. So
no, it's nothing to do with OSA going missing. And it's more so like, it's weird. It's a weird dynamic to me, at least. I just think it's,
well, yeah. Very so right now
to have a committee calling the shots, another committee, because this committee we're creating will also be accountable to the executive cabinet, right? By nature of being a review committee. So the chair of this committee, the alternative crisis response chair, rather than being selected through the traditional process set by the executive cabinet, right? This is getting at my main issue, right? The executive cabinet process is an election. You're essentially taking this out of the traditional how review committee chairs are selected and saying that you're going to pick someone. So the issue is well, suddenly yeah. This is one committee that's a review committee that is operating different from all the rest, but still has to play by the same rules. So I don't see that working, I guess, as our current charter is set up. The committee is a great idea, but it's creating issues, I guess, in my mind, because it's a review committee, but we're not going to be a review committee by the standards set by the executive cabinet and the charter. You're breaking rules in order to create something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, this is an amendment, so we're not trying to break rules. We're just trying to amend them.
Right.
And I appreciate your indication there. I think one thing to note here is that a lot of the functions of a review committee are still going to be, you know, manifested in normal day-to-day activity with it. I think, again, just going back to a previous point made, the hope is to encourage more involvement from OSA in this, as it's a complex area of campus life. It's a complex area of functions. and it makes sense to open the door more to involvement that's relevant to OSA if it is in the case that we've indicated above, if, you know, people believe that, which I think is pretty straightforward there. So I respect your opinion. Obviously, in writing this partially as, you know, only to speak for myself, am I involved with this? I think it makes sense for the function of OSA and the function of the student assembly and the responsibilities of the review committee. But I open it to anyone.
Can I make a motion to an amendment suggestion? And of course, this is up to your discretion. And that's just because I...
Representative Smith, I'm going to go to Representative Mullen and then I'll come back to you.
Sure.
Representative Mullen.
Yeah, thanks. I don't have a question per se. I just have, another sponsor, just wanted to agree with what Representative Katie has been saying and Director Hernandez have been saying so far about this committee being still under our purview ultimately, even if it, you know, I think it's good that we gave some discretion to OSA to allow their input to suggest that this be under the SA due to them not necessarily wanting to have their own separate committee work on different things. Because I think ultimately a lot of the functions of this committee are things that if we just put them in the purview of the OSA, they're things that SA members should want to be involved with and want to have some oversight over. So I'm glad that we kind of respected the discretion of the OSA and are placing it under the SA, and I agree with the two of them.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to backpedal. It's not exactly an amendment. It's a question of whether this is a acceptable amendment, potentially. Is there issue with it not being, if this isn't, each position isn't appointed by the Office of the Student Advocate, if we just pull this back in line with, sure, of course, the Office of the Student Advocate, the Student Advocate can say, we want this person to be it, we want you to run for it, but if we kind of just remove this appointment process and instead it's part of the regular, you know, people can run for it, the student assembly hears these, you know, however many people want to run for it, which we know tends to be kind of uncontentious as it is, but that to me kind of alleviates that. I don't know, maybe there's an issue again. That keeps the student advocate connection, you know, there's still the charge will be to work with the student advocate, but the selection process for who these folks are would just instead go right to the student assembly via the established elections. That would be my suggestion. Maybe there's an issue with that.
I defer to either the current or former, or anyone who has participated in the student advocate more to answer that than myself. But I think it's an understandable amendment at this moment. And, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I hear your concerns. And yeah, if anything, like, people in OSA are just really interested in serving in this committee. And they're like, we've talked about how this, you know, could help them with skill-wise, working with students. I didn't really know much about, like, the structure, like, the traditional way of doing it. So if that makes it any better, like, definitely I'm okay with that.
So I guess that would, let's see, we've got three different places where there's positions appointed by the Office of the Student Advocates, and
I feel like Representative Smith, I don't want to cut you off, but I feel like if that is going to be the amendment, maybe this is would look better as a table so that it's like rewritten a little, because I think it's a little structured right now. It's structured in that way that kind of combines the two, but I do want to like yield to Representative Hernandez and Representative Katie just to see if like you're comfortable with that, but I'll give it back to Representative Smith.
I would love to see it tabled, but I'll let Representative Katie make the motion.
I motion the table by unanimous consent. For specifically this purpose of examining the appointments relating to the Office of Student Advocate.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any dissent to that? Amazing. That resolution is tabled. And then the next resolution that we have is Representative Katie's resolution.
Still talking. Sorry, folks. All right. This one is in the box as well. If you want to take a look at it, Kate helped with this immensely. And I will screen share as well, too. But it is very straightforward. It's significantly shorter. I don't know if it's numbered. Yeah, essay resolution on Zoom live transcript. Oh, perfect. Thank you, Genevieve or Wendy or whoever did that. Yeah, essay resolution 39. One quick amendment is I think I spelled legislation wrong in line 8, but let me screen share. Essentially, this resolution in, you know, kind flowery request words asks that new feature of live transcription, also good closed captioning, subtitles, it goes by a lot of things, which is added to Zoom in October. This is just a request almost saying that it details at the very end, but that President Pollock requests faculty uses at the discretion when it doesn't interrupt class, and likewise teaching assistants and professors do the same. It's very straightforward. It's not a demand. It's not really trying to do anything more than I think what it can do, which is just recognize the fact that we're on Zoom right now. Obviously, we don't know when we're going to go back, though. There's looks like probably at least a week. Or at least a week more, and that this function helps a lot of students and thankfully is only 2 clicks away and not intrusive to most learning environments. Kate and I have talked about solutions running this for a long time, but while we're currently in Zoom right now, we thought that this would be a good help to a lot of students, not just students with disabilities, not just students who are interested in using a service like this, but a lot of students relating to all sorts of accommodations. So take a second to read it if you'd like, and Kate and I would love to answer some questions.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, just curious, because I don't know, but kind of like how we have issues with like voting with like yes or no, if people aren't on the same Zoom update, does that ever like become an issue on the transcription side of things? People being on different things?
It's actually on right now. If you notice, you can't see it. You can just you can click it to see it yourself. That's what a lot of students use. But no, so to do it, a host or co-host just has to click that. If you ever host a meeting, you'll see it. It's a live transcription button, and you just click that, and it plays it out, and then it adds it to the recording. It's really, really straightforward feature. What's kind of exciting about it in Zoom, and it actually says it in this resolution somewhere here, is it literally only takes 2 clicks. I wish I could be more hyperbolic about that, but it's pretty straightforward.
Representative Williams.
Yeah, I guess like a point or a quick comment. So in one of my lectures this week for the live transcription thing, I pressed it and I requested that my teacher, you can press and request that the teacher turn it on, and then they did. So it seemed really simple and it is super helpful to me. So I appreciate you guys making this resolution, and I am in favor of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're aiming for. And thank you, Adele, for that anecdote. That means a lot. I just think like little things like that are so great. That's the entire point of this. And what's even more simpler about this is that our hope is to raise more awareness about this. This resolution specifically asks President Pollock sent out an email or just communicates it. The deans of the colleges communicate it, and just aware to the student representatives. It also asks that current student assembly representatives contact their deans if they're a college representative. Obviously, for some, that's a little bit easier than others. None of this is really like binding. It's all, a formal, respectful request. But the hope is just so that once more institutional and administrative folks kind of recognize it, that more students can benefit from it. It's a new feature that came at the end of the semester. I'm not surprised. A lot haven't heard of it. A lot don't realize how helpful it can be, not just to students with disabilities.
I also wanted to add, if I may, that this was basically like an idea that we kind of like started working on last semester before we even knew that we were going to be have like virtual instruction this semester. So, I think it's kind of like something that what we've been going through, something that's up in the air. We never really know, are we going to have class? Is it going to be virtual? And just making sure that, basically the overarching goal is to have a more inclusive learning experience and environment for all students, regardless of, anything. So that's kind of just the goal. And uh, we
we talked to a lot of people in SDS and did a lot of outreach. So I appreciate all the work that all of the SA has done and Representative Katie as well.
Representative Gleiberman.
I was going to motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Perfect. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Do we have any dissent to that? Amazing. That resolution passes. Congratulations. And also thank you for that incredible work. That's really important.
Can I say one more comment on it before we move on for it? Just so you all know, this is a resolution that, like, it's, again, like, it's focused on just asking for it. Many of you have great relationships with your professors, with your deans. If you get a chance, you know, make sure to let them know, because this is kind of thing where the more people know, the more students you can help. And it's a direct correlation. It's two clicks. You don't know how that could help someone in their learning environment.
Okay. Now, as it's the end of our meeting, I would smell upon a motion to adjourn.
Can I make a motion for a late addition to the, I would like to make a motion to add a late addition to the agenda, specifically a resolution overturning the decision of the executive committee at the last executive meeting to remove Representative Wade. So I would like to call a vote by 2/3 and have a resolution added, because the standing rules say that any voting SA member may attempt to overrule the decision by the executive. This is lines 232 to 235 of the standing rules. Any voting SA member may attempt to overrule the decision by the executive committee by submitting their challenge in the form of a resolution at the next regularly scheduled meeting. I think removal of a member is a very serious thing, and I think it's something that all of the SA should be able to at least hear and learn what happened and make a decision.
Perfect. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Wait, we don't do this. Okay, I'm just
right now. I'm just trying to add something to the agenda, yeah, okay. Like a resolution.
Sorry, I was like taking that as a vote. Okay, so can I have all of those in favor of bringing that to the floor? Please raise your hands. Okay, can everyone lower their hands? Can I have all those opposed, please raise your hands? Okay, you need to lower your hands. Representative Mullen, I'm gonna lower that for you. And then can I have all those abstaining, please raise your hands. Okay, did we have anyone leave the call? Did we have a few people leave the call? Okay, because we are currently at, I'm counting one more time. Give me 1 second. Okay, sorry. I just want to make sure I was right, and I was right. Okay, so 3 people didn't vote. I'm going to do a revote. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards? And everyone needs to vote. You're allowed to abstain, but everyone needs to vote.
Okay, everyone lower your hands. Okay, can I have all those opposed, please raise your hands. Okay, in a vote, oh, can I have all those abstaining after everyone lowers their hands? Can I have everyone lower their hands? Representative Lacout, is that no or abstain?
Abstention.
Okay, amazing. So in a vote of 21-5-2, that passes. So we'll hear this, and it's Representative Gleiberman, I believe you can present your case right now, and then we'll open it to the floor.
Yes, so I'm adding the resolution to the box right now, but the resolution just kind of says overturn. I'm going to start by ceding time to former Representative Wade to talk, and then I'll add some comments, and then we can open up to questions if that's okay with you, President. Okay, so Henry, you can start.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for hearing out this resolution. Last semester at the end, due to attendance policies, I was removed from the SA, and that was through a vote of executive committee, and I come here to all of you today to ask for you to reinstate me as my position. At the exec committee, I talked about each of my absences and the circumstances that which presented them. But today I'm just going to highlight one in particular, because according to the bylaws, it says I have to have 3 unexcused absences to be removed. So I feel like this one in particular is just kind of like summarizes the reason that like my absence happened. On November 29th, I got a call from an interviewer, probably around 6:37 p.m., saying, can I interview for the next day? And I told them yes. They said that this interview would be at 5 o'clock the next day. I was a fairly new SA member at the time, so I didn't know the attendance policy. So at first, I emailed President Ananye, and she told me that the proper policy was to email Representative Mullen, and then she forwarded the email to him. During the exec committee, when I kind of explained this to them, amongst other things, the conversation was extremely lengthy. I explained to them how I felt like this scenario, because it says that I have to give 24-hour notice, there was no way I could have given a 24-hour notice. And within the exceptions listed in the bylaws, it does cite interviews for excused absences. If I would have known 24 hours of advance that this opportunity would have been presented to me, I would have definitely have tried to notify someone at the time. Furthermore, I know there has been some concerns raised about future attendance, and I have redone my schedule. I only have 2 classes on Thursdays. I'm fully committed to the SA. So other things I want to highlight is that there was also the discussion of me leaving early. So kind of just like some explanation on those, the one days that they listed for me leaving early, some of those were because I am a Dyson diversity scholar. So I have certain events and requirements that I have to go to. And I will admit that it does fall on me to better communicate those. And one other thing that I like to highlight is at specific times, especially last semester, I had to do certain roles within my housing community and my fraternity, such as dish pit and other things, cleaning around the house. And that was a responsibility I had to maintain. And that's the way that I choose to have an affordable way to have housing here on campus. But this semester, my position has changed and my schedule has changed when it comes to those. So the only thing I want to highlight is that I'm fully committed for my future work within the student assembly. I have a track record of trying to be the best senator that I can, and I'll cede my time back to Representative Gleiberman.
Yeah, I want to echo a lot of things Representative Wade said. We are the student assembly, and this means, like, first and foremost, we are students. And while the student assembly is really important, and personally, I love the work I do here, I think it's important to remember that the student assembly should never be, like, prioritized over facets of our lives, like making sure we have affordable housing and securing a job after graduation. I was not a transfer student, so I don't know what it's like finding affordable housing as a transfer student, but I know even as someone who's been here for many years, it's not easy. And I also want, I would also ask my fellow assembly members to realize that Representative Wade chose to be part of the most time-consuming committee in his first semester. And I would think he's put in more hours into the student assembly than some people, just because of how much work that takes. And I think we should also consider Representative Wade has always been like an active and attentive member of meetings, engaging in debate, adding points. And I think we should really consider what it means to be removing a member and what comes first to us as students.
Okay, Representative Mullen.
Yeah, so just to talk on the opposite side of this discussion, because I think the executive committee's reasoning and rationale should be explained. I think just to preface that, it is a little surprising to me that this is actually happening, considering that the procedure is very clearly stated that the executive committee will deal with attendance issues. We did that. The meeting was actually available to the public, so there were other members of the student assembly there. So I'm not really buying the argument that, okay, this is, you know, it was done in the shadows or whatever, like the reasons were all there. We did this publicly. But regardless of that, it should be noted that not only were the threshold of absences met for removal, there were also multiple late and early leave from the meetings, which, as we established at the orientation, the very beginning of the year, those were going to count for half absences. So collectively, it's over and above the threshold for removal. I understand that, you know, this is not ideal of removing someone from the SA, but I'm also, again, confused because this was done all the way at the end of last semester. It wasn't brought up at all over the break, and it's being brought up now. It wasn't challenged at all over the break until the essay came back. So I think we, as the executive committee, already did our due diligence, established the hearing, went through the attendance bit by bit, and made our decision as the executive committee, as the standing rules say. And if there's some kind of decision for the student assembly as a totality to review that, I think it just is unfortunate because it reflects a poor trust of the student assembly body in the executive committee's ability to do its job.
If I may, just to respond to those two things, to my knowledge, I'm not accusing anyone of operating in the shadows. However, I do know that, like, during the meeting when you were speaking about the particular circumstances, that you did create breakout rooms and that only I and the other exec members were privy to be in that room. So I'm not saying that the entire meeting wasn't public, but there were, like, you know, private sections. Second, just kind of like discussing some of those early leaving and early absences. Like I said earlier, I will say that the communication of mine wasn't perfect for that, and I did apologize. But on those instances, I cited that it was a Dyson Diversity Scholar event, a part of my degree program, a part of something that I participate in. And then the other parts I talked about housing. While it's unfortunate that did happen, it's just that last semester, my schedule was very hectic. I ran for the SA, you know, spring of my sophomore year when I was elected, and then my junior year as I'm focusing on trying to ensure that, you know, my career or my summer internship and everything is going well with my academics. Maybe I did stack myself up last semester.
I would also like to add the reason this is discussed specifically in this meeting is just because the standing rules say that it has to be brought up at the next regularly scheduled SA meeting. So it wouldn't have been correct in procedure to hold like a special meeting. So we're only bringing up at this meeting to follow the procedure. It's not because we waited because we wanted to.
Okay. I see a lot of people, so I think I'm going to start limiting time. I'm going to go 30-second questions, minute response. And is Carson is not on the call. Representative Mullen, is there any way you could keep time for me?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, thank you. Or actually, Representative Bonta, can you keep time?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. So we're doing 30 seconds, and then you can just call time, like, immediately. So we're doing 30-second questions, minute response. Oh, I am so sorry. We are at 6:05. Okay. Can I have a motion to extend the meeting to 6:30?
Motion to extend the meeting to 6:30.
Okay. Do we have a second? Was that by unanimous consent?
I probably won't pass by unanimous consent, so I'm just going
to
do normal.
Okay. So motion to extend to 6:30.
Point of information, we always want 6:30, so we don't have to extend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until 6:30.
Sorry. I just got him. Yeah. Our meeting's till 6:30. Okay. Wait, where were we? Okay. Representative Bonsa is keeping time. LOL. Delilah. I'm sorry. I got a message from the Office of the Assemblies telling me I was over time. Okay. So Representative Leon, you have 30 seconds.
Yeah. So I think like what it was a minute ago, but what Henry said is true. Like at that point when we were discussing things, like I think it was just exec. So I think for some helpful context for people that weren't there, one thing that to me was very concerning was at one point Henry did say that he didn't see a point in the work that the SA did. And that was a big point for me when we were going through this. It seemed like his commitments or like his loyalties were more to APSCOM than to the general SA based purely on what he said. And I also
That's time. That's 30 seconds.
Thank you. That's fine.
Okay.
Just kind of responding to that point. So that was one taken a little out of context. Well, I did say I don't see point in certain essay work. I was referring to a certain type of resolutions that I disagree with. And I said ones that functionally don't change the ways that students operate. And to kind of like answer kind of like the second part of her question saying that like my interest in OPSCOM, I think it's pivotal that I maintain a senator position as well as in a committeeship position in APSCOM, because there are certain scenarios that where like things that happen in the room in APSCOM aren't articulated properly. And I feel like there needs to be that certain voice in the room. You know, I think of this one individual who's on APSCOM currently, who's not a part of the SA. She always has so many things to say and she always contributes to conversation. And a lot of times when the SA is talking, I feel like, you know, maybe that if she were in the room and kind of can explain the committee's reasoning, another voice in the room, then I think that could be advantageous. So that's kind of what I see my uses between the two.
Representative Baker.
Questions for Representative Wade. I'm just wondering what the other two absences were and if you could explain those.
Yeah. So the first absence, I don't have the day like written down. It's somewhere in my email, but I went, this was like kind of at the beginning of the semester when like testing was like extremely packed. I scheduled an appointment and was 5 minutes late. So I rescheduled one, instead of at a Willard Strait, I rescheduled one at Bartles. I went and got it and then I lost my phone. So I was spending kind of a while looking for my phone. And then when I finally found my phone, the meeting was over. That one, you know, that's just a fault of my own and I should have properly communicated that after I found my phone. And the second one, or the third one is, was specifically a final stock pitch to, that was a part of another organization that I was in that had a representative of that same group that I was interviewing for the second one, for like my 9:30 interview. Those same people were there seeing the stock pitch and I hadn't yet gotten my decision. So I found it to be like really important and pivotal for me to get FaceTime with them and to see them that I could be like competent in my position. But I guess also speaking to that point is that like I'm not trying to excuse those other two absences. Those were lapses in my judgment. Just this is interview.
Representative Yam.
Misheard that for a second, but first off, I'd like to commend the committee. I know it's not pleasant, and I commend you on competently doing your job. It is what the rules say, but I want to say that, you know, on SO, as Representative Lieberman said, we're all students, and I think that we should not treat each other too harshly and give each other room and mercy to, you know, make mistakes once in a while. And I think Representative Wade has done good work on SA, and I'd like to keep him here.
That's time.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, I think right off the bat, just echoing Everest's sentiments, I believe that there's no value to a seat being vacant, so we should keep Henry. But also curious if the minutes of the executive board meeting are available, since it seems like that's been critical in this discussion. I know they're supposed to be sent to all representatives within 24 hours, so just a question for Vice President Bansaw, if those minutes from that meeting are available for us to review.
May I answer that? So I don't get the minutes until like a week or so after, and that's because when I was working with Kira at first, there was like a lag in sending the minutes over, and so that's one reason why it's not done within 24 hours. And two, whenever it is done within, whenever Kira sends it, it goes straight to the agenda, so every minute now is a part of the agenda. I can like have a separate email just for minutes, but that's one why I don't send it within 24 hours, because I don't get it, and that's why two, it's always in the agenda when I do get it.
The clarification there is that executive board minutes was the question, not student assembly minutes. So executive board minutes, in accordance with Article 5, Section 2, are supposed to be sent after every meeting within 24 hours. So just curious if we have those for review. Sorry to take more time, but.
My apologies for the misconstruing that, but I don't have the minutes for that. Especially when Henry came on, I don't have the minutes, but from now on, I will take it and I will send it within 24 hours. So thank you.
Representative Katie.
I vehemently disagree with Henry on all of his politics, or a lot of his politics, a lot of his views, and I find I'm often on the other side of debate with him. With that said, I do believe the job interview is a reasonable excuse personally, and I don't know about other contexts with issues relating to that. But I think that ad in and of itself is worth review. And so I would support having his seat left filled for that and just with the other two absences kept.
Thank you, Representative Katie.
Representative Dasavira.
Thank you. Just to echo what Representative Katie Smith and Jan said, I understand that we all have a duty to our student constituents, but we must remember that we should be reasonable in understanding what we expect from each other as representatives. Representative Wade has been expelled for circumstances that were quite tough for all parties, given like him and the exec board, given that he has mandatory university requirements as a Dyson University scholar and was seeking necessary living conditions. Our responsibility is first and foremost to be students, and it would be unfair to reprimand and punish a fellow student for honoring their scholarly commitments. Thank you.
I just want to speak for a second, and I think that this should be a dynamic conversation, but I do think that we should consider that two members of the student assembly weren't able to serve this year because of not being able to meet requirements for our attendance policy. That would be Esther Bentalila and Krinal Thacker. We do permit three unexcused absences, but several people have a lot of excused absences, and that's just kind of a check for accountability through the SA. And I think that's something that we should kind of consider. And that might be just changing our policies moving forward or something along those lines, just because I do think we should consider the fact that two people aren't able to serve on the SA right now because of our attendance policy. Representative Williams.
Hi, I just really quickly wanted to say, I know that this has been like a tough semester for everyone, but I know that we've all been working really hard to try to make it on time. And I think what they stressed earlier was all the late comings and goings, even with your job interview, you know, that's still a lot of missed time. And I know that you've been a very active member of the SA, but it's kind of disappointing that I don't know how many meetings you're there the full time, and that really affects your ability to do the work. And I had a quick question, actually. How many, can we get like the full numbers, like how many like late coming and going?
And send the chat.
Yeah, I already sent it.
But I guess responding, I do appreciate, you know, your criticism, and I do recognize that concern. The only thing I can say is that I do feel bad for my mistakes in the past, and that this semester I have tried to formulate myself to be more committed to the student assembly. I'm willing that you all reinstate me.
I also want to point out the fact that, as you said before, a lot of the three early leave/late was for housing, and I don't think we should be punishing students for for responsibilities that come with various on-housing options, such as like dorms, fraternities, program houses, and co-ops. Like Cornell does not guarantee housing after sophomore year. And I think we really should be considerate about what people, sometimes the requirements people have to have affordable housing on campus.
Has anyone not spoken? I think
I haven't.
Representative Valencia, have you spoken?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Representative Valencia.
Yeah, I was just going to say how at the exec meeting, just for more context, Representative Wade just really mentioned how he's really committed to the Appropriations Committee and not so much the work that the SA does, right? So then we offered to him that he could always come back as a committee member on the APSCOM. I remember I asked him if he had ever met with any of the Alan organizations or connected back to minority students, given that he is the minority representative, right?
I guess my response to that is kind of like, I guess that's further speaking to the conversation saying that, like, am I an effective member as being a senator? So as earlier, I mentioned how I think that it's important that I remain a senator and a committee member. I referenced how there are community members who are very vocal in the committee, but a lot of times their voices aren't echoed to the SA when we're discussing these budgets. Secondly, I think the way that I've chosen to engage with minority students is through the work that I've always said that I won't say actually affects their day-to-day lives, but earlier when I said I don't find all work of the SA useful, I was referring to resolutions that don't materially change the way that students operate in this school. So I think that's slightly out of context.
Representative Jiang, have you already spoken?
No, I haven't.
Okay, perfect.
So from I just heard from Representative Wade regarding of the reason why previous two absences, one is interview, unexpected interview, another one is testing, which is quite typical circumstances for the coronavirus pandemic. So I consider that as quite a valid excuse. So I would support to reinstate his position.
Okay, Representative Overton.
I just had a quick question. This is probably for whoever's keeping track of the time. Like, I guess it's okay if you don't know, but I just am curious, like, do you have the exact, like, minute that Representative Wade left the meeting? Just, like, if it was, like, an hour early versus 20 minutes early versus, like, 5 minutes early or, like, 5 minutes late versus 20 minutes late. Like, you know what I mean? Because I feel like that might help in context, you know what I mean? Because, like, I feel like there's definitely a difference between, like, arriving and leaving, like, more than 20 minutes ahead or after scheduled time in like 2 minutes, you know?
Was that question directed at me?
I don't know. It was directed at whoever would know, like, anyone would know.
I do know. I have them all kept track of. And I can just say that I don't count them unless they're, as we established at the orientation, unless they're over 15 minutes. Like, either way, if you leave 15 minutes early or show up 15 minutes late, then I count them. There was a meeting just as like an example. And again, I'm not saying this, like, I purely mean the respect because we follow the rules completely as we did this. But on November 30th, to my recollection, Representative Wade was between 30 and 45 minutes late to the meeting, something with that respect. And I understand the excuses that have been provided. But again, like, as we have established throughout this, we did our job. We followed the rules as we've stipulated them. So I think, like, you can direct questions at me, but we have the attendance tracked and the rules were broken.
I would just like to kind of add on to that and answer the initial question and kind of follow up. Yes, on one hand, I would argue that missing a job interview is an excused absence and is permittable within 20, that is one of the stipulations where an absence can be given within 24 hours and be excused. Also, when it talks about the removal of members, the governing documents ask the executive committee to consider things like consider all aspects of the member. And so I just want to make sure all of SA, because I think it is an important matter, all of SA, to hear exactly the circumstance around the removal and to consider everything he's done.
Representative Overton.
Sorry, I had a follow-up question and I forgot it. So I'll try my best to remember it. But thank you, Representative Mullen, for the times.
Okay, Representative Mullen.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention in response to what was just said, that as we've been establishing, as I've reiterated, it's not the interview that's in question per se, because even though I did count it as unexcused because I have asked everyone to let me know 24 hours in advance, and I know I understand that that's not always possible. Again, just to reiterate it, it's the early and late leaves. If you even want to take that out of consideration, which I still counted that as unexcused due to my interpretation of the rules, we can debate that. But even if that specific absence is overturned, the late and early leaves are still what is determining.
Oh, sorry, was that time?
Yeah.
Representative Bonsa, did you say time?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
That's time. Representative Leon.
Yeah, so I agree with what Annie said about how, like, we do have to consider things that aren't just, like, attendance, and we did. So, like, again, I just want to second what Valeria said. There was very little involvement with, like, other Alana orgs, other, like, minority-related orgs. The two organizations that we were told that he was doing work with were orgs that he was already in. I think we should really focus on the matter at hand and not debate, like, the technicalities over one little absence, because that wasn't it.
If I may respond to that, so I guess the reason that I, you know, mentioned the technicality argument is, you know, it's like everything that's like looking at me as a senator that comes ex post facto if I cross the certain threshold. So I just wanted to mention how I had that interview, not to seem defensive, but just as a reason for like why I felt like I shouldn't have been there. But to kind of like talk more about that, we're all here as Cornell students, we're all involved in multiple organizations. I know, for example, Valeria is a member of Alana, so I know that she has a friend with them on the APSCOM. We all have different experiences and stuff that we do on campus and ways that we try to connect with people and ways that we see that the effective uses for our organizations. Like I said earlier, I believe that the best way for like my use of being the minority student liaison is to do work that I believe that tangentially change day-to-day activities. So things like the appropriation committee, so how much money that they're paying, I think matters a little bit more than maybe a resolution that might talk about a historical example that might not impact in like daily students' lives. That's what I meant by that.
Representative Overton?
Yes, I remembered now. Adele's question like kind of is like kind of similar to that, the one that she put in the chat. So this, I guess, this one's to Representative Wade. I guess, yeah, part of it's for you, part of it's probably for Representative Mullen. But Representative Wade, did you like you did like warn like each and every time, like as soon as you knew, correct? And then like I guess my question would be, Representative Warren, or excuse me, Mullen, like was Representative Wade like warned? Like I just want to know like how much communication was going on here, because like I feel like if like looking at like the six absences, I feel like some of them could be, I get that like if for interviews like it's difficult to predict it, but I feel like some.
Was that time, Representative Bonsa?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I think that's for Representative Mullen. I'm sorry. Or I don't know. Do you mind like reiterating the question if that's okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Representative Overton, you can repeat yourself.
Yeah, I was basically wondering how frequently you notified the absence committee. And then I guess I asked Representative Mullen kind of like if he had warned you also in addition to you letting him know about your absences.
Okay, so you're asking for the excused absences. Did I notify him and was I warned that I was like close to my I guess like limit?
Yeah, because it just seems like six absences, like for whatever reason, like it seems like there should have been a lot of communication going on there about them.
Yeah, so specifically about the one that I was talking about on 9/29 and 9/30, at the time I wasn't, again, 100% familiar with the attendance policy. I emailed the president. She told me to email Mr. Mullen from now on. She forwarded the email to him, and I did have confirmation of him receiving that for 9/29. But about the warning, I don't know off the top of my head if I received a warning. Let me get a moment to check my email. The only thing I can say is like notification of me like being in absences, I guess like the meeting for exec committee, is that I know that I was notified the Sunday evening before that Tuesday, if I remember correctly. And at that point, right after I got the email, like multiple people already knew that I was like up on the chopping block. So I just like, in my personal opinion, I just felt like if this was something that was like automatically in the head, then I should have been warned more. I'm still scrolling, so I'll let Mr. Mullen respond, but I'm trying to find the email.
Yeah, I'll take that. So first, just before I go into it, I would reject the characterization of on the chopping block. I think that that's an incorrect characterization of following the rules of the student assembly, which is exactly what was done. But I would just note that, again, when an unexcused absence is invoked, it's either because someone didn't communicate within 24 hours or didn't communicate at all. I've actually been really generous with a lot of the absences throughout the semester. There are occasionally at the very beginning some people who are getting excused who shouldn't have been excused for things simply because they were notifying me 24 hours in advance. In this situation, there was very little communication on my part. As we've established, I think there was one incident of communication going through President Nanye, and then subsequently there was little communication. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the interview in regards, the reason that it was included as an unexcused absence is that I wasn't notified at all. That's the reason that I counted it as unexcused, because there was not a significant communication. So I would just say that there is a lack of communication. And on the last part about warning, I think I established at the beginning that anybody who had questions about their attendance could email me, but it seemed like there was also not, and there were plenty of people who emailed me about their attendance and their standing. It seemed like there wasn't a lot of concern on that. And there was like verbal repetition at the SA meetings that multiple people had absences and were getting close. So I think that I reject the use of chop and block to characterize just following the rules.
Okay, my apologies will be for the chopping block. That can be a mischaracterization. But I would also just say that
I'm sorry.
This is a direct comment to something he like said.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm reading the email where you said you didn't receive any communication from the president. And here's the response from that email. You said, "Hi, Henry, in the future, please email me directly for absences. Also, you'll need to email me 24 hours in advance before your meeting's excused." So you did receive that email, and you still counted as an unexcused absence.
Yes, because it was not 24 hours in advance.
Okay. Representative Yan.
Yeah. Let me lower my hand first. I think we're kind of going into like a kind of a he said kind of business, and I'd like to avoid that. I think I trust, you know, Representative Mullen. I think he has, you know, kept correct records, and whether I think the rules are too harsh, you know, we all have hard jobs here. We can talk about how we can be more easy on and make SA a less demanding environment for us all. But I think we should just, I'd like to reiterate my earlier point that we should have compassion on our other fellow members. And on this point, I'd like, again, to repeat, I'd like to see Mr. Wade stay and continue to develop on SA.
Amazing. I'd smile upon
him. I would like to motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
Second. Okay, by unanimous consent, we're just going to go with that to 6:40. Do we have any dissent to that? Okay, amazing. Representative Eisman.
Oh, sorry. I was just raising my hand to put a motion forward. So.
Okay. Representative Mullen.
Yeah, I would If possible, I think most of the arguments have been made. And again, I would just reiterate that those of us in the executive committee, just in agreeing with Representative Yan, it's getting to a point of we're kind of delving into the emails, and I've already sent all of the unexcused absences, early and late leaves. I track the attendance pretty consistently, so I find it a little frustrating that this has become a public debate about attendance tracking and everything. We have already conducted the vote in the executive committee as the rules supply us to do, so I think that our decision has already been made, and I understand that we have hard jobs, but we also have rules to follow. We have precedents to follow, so I think it's a little bit frustrating that we're doing this in this way. It feels very unprofessional and feels like there are a lot of biases at work. So hopefully we can vote to maintain the executive committee's decision and, you know, maintain our precedence as an executive committee.
That's time.
I would just like to add before I call a motion to vote that in the same meeting at during which Representative Wade was removed, there were other members who were voted after having absences to not be removed. So I think that's important for context. And I just really want to reiterate before we vote that, like, we are students. A removal is a big deal. I think that we really should all have more compassion for each other, no matter our politics, no matter what we believe. I think that just is the most important part of the job. And just remembering that we're students. And with that, I'd like to call for a vote as the bylaws line out a process for overturning exec.
Representative Gleiberman, can I just speak before your motion? If not, that's fine.
Okay.
I didn't want to chime into the discussion, but I just like to say, like, reiterating one more time that there's two members of the SA who were not able to be members because of attendance issues. So if no matter like what this decision, how it goes, I do think that this is something that we do need to reevaluate, because I think that that's really unfair. There's people who just like opted out of being in the SA or actually had to leave the SA because of attendance issues. And I think 6 attendance issues when we're like granted 3 is way over basically our extension. So if we're saying that attendance doesn't matter, then like that should be blanket for the SA. But I wanted to make that clear.
I appreciate that. I don't know some of those people who leave their names. I don't remember ever seeing at meetings. I think all of us should consider how much we've seen Representative Wade at meetings and speak. Is there a second, though, for the vote?
Second.
Okay. Can I have all those in favor of overturning, please raise your hands. Can I have, okay, everyone lower your hands. Can I have all those opposed, please raise your hands. Okay, can I have everyone lower your hands? And then can I have all those abstaining, please raise your hand. Is that an abstention, Representative Bonsa?
Yeah.
Okay. And just to clarify, I received a proxy vote from Representative Eisman, so that's being counted. And Wendy, can you clarify for me what the vote needs to be?
Yeah, 1 second.
Thank you.
May I call for a roll call vote?
I don't think you can mid-vote. I'm sorry. This is like not the meeting to not have Carson here. I already have the vote. Does anyone know, Annie, where in the governing docs did you find the 2/3? Sorry, we're just still looking for it.
That's what I thought. I always just do that number to be safe, but I look at it either in the bylaws or the charter, so maybe it is just a majority. I knew it was 2/3 to bring it back on to like the SA floor.
Sorry, everyone, looking through the bylaws right now to find it.
Don't we need to extend more then?
Yeah. Can I have a motion to extend by unanimous consent for 10 minutes?
Motion to extend by unanimous consent by 10 minutes.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Do we have any dissent to that? Okay, amazing. We're going to 6:50 now.
Can I just ask a quick question about the attendance policy, if you don't mind? So for all the excused absence, that is emailed to Vice President of Internal Affairs 24 hours before with valid reason, doesn't consider as any against, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's only if Representative Mullen doesn't have like any excuse. Yeah, I think that's it, Representative Valencia. Where did you find that? Was that in?
It's in the standing rules.
Okay, amazing. Representative Gleiberman, that's what you were referring to, correct? Representative Gleiberman? Okay, I do not think Representative Gleiberman is still there. Okay, and that is, I just got confirmed from the Office of the Assemblies that that's correct as well. Thanks, Valeria. Okay, so in a vote of 15-12-2, that resolution fails. I would smile upon a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, Representative Mullen, was that by unanimous consent?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, second, do we have any dissent to that? Okay, amazing, we're adjourned. Have a good rest of your evening, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.